Commission session. We'll begin this evening with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll stand and join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a quorum tonight. Do we have any adjustments to the regular agenda? I don't believe so. We have a time here for business from the audience not pertaining to the public hearing. I haven't received any speaker request cards. Does anyone want to address the council not related to the public hearing? Okay, hearing none. We'll move directly then into our legislative public hearing. Our public hearing tonight is relates to the Main Street Corridor Vision Plan A, our roadmap to support the achievement of the community's preferred future land use and transportation outcomes. And so we'll call the hearing into session at this time. And to start this evening, we're going to have a presentation by our principal planner, Linda Pauly, who's been working through this process. And so we'll start with that presentation.
Thank you very much. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to ask the Planning Commission to forward a recommendation to approve or not approve the Main Street Corridor Vision Plan. And as you know, the Vision Plan is a pretty high-level picture of where the city would like to go in terms of the Main Street Corridor. And it's based on broad community outreach that staff has done over the past approximately 14 months since we started this process. And the beauty of this plan is that it's a land use and transportation planning together at the same time, and so there's a lot of synergies that can happen when we do the planning at the same time. So anyway, it's been a really good process, and I don't want to take up too much time. We mainly want to hear from the people that have come to participate tonight. But the plan identifies specific vision statements and goals for each segment of the corridor, and Tom Lister is going to walk you through the vision plan tonight with a brief presentation. I just wanted to note that we have done a lot of outreach to make people aware of tonight's proceedings. We mailed a postcard to everyone that owns property and resides within the study area, so hundreds of people were noticed of the open house. There was an open house last night. We had 40 people participate in the open house, and Commissioner James was there. Thank you. We also, what we passed out tonight were some comments, mainly from the workshop last night that people wrote. The notice was sent out on December 31st. And
the corridor is how many feet off of the...
The corridor study area is primarily land that touches on Main Street itself on both sides, but some of the properties that go further back were noticed as well.
Great.
I think that's all that I wanted to say. I just wanted to mention that the projects and programs in the plan, none of it's binding on the council. This, again, it's a vision plan that will become the basis of future, potential future plan and zoning amendments, but this is not a plan change or a zone amendment of any kind. It's just ideas for future things that could happen. And so it's just, the purpose of this process was really to have a big conversation in the community about the future of Main Street, and that's what we did. And we had over 500 people participate in that discussion, and spent a lot of good energy generated from that. And a lot of great ideas.
Good.
So Tom Lister is the city's lead consultant, and he's going to walk you through the vision plan using an older PowerPoint we just discovered.
Yes, I apologize to all of you and to you who came, but I grabbed the PowerPoint that had the right cover and the right start sheet, but it actually doesn't have some of the maps in it that you have in there, which was what I intended.
Okay.
So my bad. So, but we'll talk about it anyway. And Linda brought down some of the big maps that she used at the open house. So if they help with anybody in the audience or with you with the discussion, we'll just improvise, and we'll do it the old-fashioned way, and we'll just hold them up and talk about it. So I do apologize. I I don't quite know how that happened, but it did. So as you know, we've talked to you before, so we had this plan really is in sort of three segments, the kind of segments 1, 2, and 3, and that helped a lot with the discussion. It helped a lot with the implementation strategies. It helped to identify vision statements that were really appropriate to those segments because it's so big and so diverse to have to sort of get it all into one just didn't seem to work, and nobody felt comfortable with trying to do that. So that's been pretty steady throughout the project that that's been a good approach. So what's in your plan is a lot of stuff. The executive summary, of course, the existing conditions, opportunities, that's referred to in the plan document that you have. I guess I should lean a little closer to this. That's referred to in the plan document that you have. The whole memo, the larger memo, is in the project appendix that Linda has, the city has, and that's available. And then same with the vision statements, there's a large document that pertains to that that's referenced in here. The vision statements are certainly here. That's also in the project appendix. Goals for each area, the framework plans, which are these big maps that unfortunately you won't see, but they're right over here if we want to hold them up. Talk to you just a minute about the priority implementation actions and then concepts for zoning, and then we'll kind of quickly move on. So what you see in your plan is we extrapolated some priority implementation actions from a larger strategic implementation plan that we did, and that's also provided in the project appendix, and it was all vetted through the public and staff review. And it sort of breaks down the steps into long-term and near-term actions, recommendations, as well as a recommendation for how you might continue to have the community engagement be part of keeping that plan live. So we extracted some priority actions per segment out of that, but the larger document is available and is, you know, it supports all of that. And the other thing I would just say about that quickly is, you know, implementation plans are sort of live documents, and so they're intended really to be reviewed and updated. They're not supposed to last 20 years without a change. And so the ability for you as commissions and council and staff to sort of review and update it is something you need to kind of consider what your, you know, how much time and how frequently you want to do that and whether or not you want to, how extensively you want to try to involve stakeholders or the public in doing that. It's been very successful in my experience when you do that, and the recommendation that we included was kind of based on a model that's worked very well in the interstate corridor in Portland, for example. So I would encourage you to kind of consider it to be a live document, I guess, is the takeaway from what I'm saying here, and consider updating it from time to time and seeing what's working and what's not working and make adjustments.
And what is that recommendation?
I would say that the recommendation would be that you do it at a minimum every 3 years. And if you have the time and the energy, you could look at it yearly, but I would say that my recommendation would be at a minimum you look at it every 3 years and check off near-term programs and projects that have been accomplished and how well did they work and what didn't work so well and how that might be adjusted and new things that might come up as conditions change, depending on what may happen with the future transit investments as an outcome of the transit feasibility study, market changes. A number of things can bring good reason to re-examine those things, and they're really meant to be re-examined and be live documents, and I would just encourage you to treat it that way. But we tried to allow for, we were very careful in our recommendations about what we thought the capacity of Springfield would be in the short term versus the long term. It's very detailed and quite long. You just kind of got the highlights here. The last thing I just touch on quickly, because I know this is probably going to come up, you know, is the concepts for zoning and plan updates. I mean, this plan does not recommend that. It just provides some options for you to consider and gives you sort of an overview of what they might be and what the advantages and disadvantages may be, with the intent that this is the vision and how could some changes in zoning and plan updates possibly make it easier for you to actually have happen what this vision's plan says would like to happen in the next 20 years. That's another conversation that will go on at the city in the future. We just sort of started the conversation without any definite recommendations. That's not really part of the plan at this point. So Linda alluded to the great robust community outreach, and it was robust. I think we talked to something like, in total, 500 different people in one way or another. There were public workshops, door-to-door outreach, youth workshops, display materials, special outreaches to the Latino community, special outreaches to the business community, and I think in total, we actually contacted, I think, about 500 people, and it was pretty impressive, actually. It was a good job on the part of both staff, and I think and we did our best as well as consultants. So we heard big ideas. You've heard them all before in the last time we met with you in the work session, but really, the diversity of Main Street represents a tremendous opportunity for people, I think, to create more destinations. The concern is that it's kind of divisive of neighborhoods. Everybody, I think, recognizes it's a little difficult to cross. It has a function as a state highway that still is an important function. But as a community street, it's a little divisive to people, and the idea that there is just more opportunities for people to shop, live, and work here, and more housing, and less car trips required, just a better mix of uses, were really resonant ideas that came up over and over and over again. So this idea that Main Street should be safe for everyone, safety is really important. That's an important part of our framework plans. We have several, in your document, that you have several transportation framework plans that are largely about improving safety and multimodal access for bikes and pedestrians in particular, without compromising efficient vehicle traffic. Transit is a part of this. It remains to be seen exactly what part, as that's still unfolding, but the idea that it can help build community was pretty widely accepted and acknowledged. Everybody kind of waiting to see the results, however, of the transit feasibility study, so we walked kind of lightly, not pretending to presume what that was going to be. But it certainly gives you some opportunities, and I will just pause for a second and say, in terms of that implementation, which is oh so important, you know, when you have a vision, how do you implement it? It's always, that's what the devil is in those details. There's a great opportunity to leverage partnerships, because whenever there's a major transit corridor investment like this, you know, frankly, it brings some money with it that can help meet mutually shared objectives and goals and infrastructure and a lot of other things. And there are many, many ways in which to partner, and I always really encourage those kinds of partnerships because they can leverage so many resources and so many opportunities. Main Street, and particularly in segment one, an emphasis on pedestrian-oriented design and places to sit and a friendlier place to walk around. Public art and wayfinding was widely appreciated and desired. So we really had a couple of visions in that first segment in the couplet area. So, you know, the first is the sort of, there's the Main Street segment itself, where really people wanted diverse shopping, small-scale services, comfortable access. That was the kind of business activity, and more housing, more chances to live there, more options to live on or near Main Street, and that kind of alive after five feeling. You know, South A Street, everybody recognizes, is a very different place. And it's a long-standing backbone of business and employment for your community and should remain so. And I think the opportunity there is to mix in potentially some new craft industrial uses or with a retail space and maybe even a few commercial uses that aren't there now. It'd still be totally appropriate, I think, for the vision statement for that segment. So the mid part, the mid Springfield, really, I mean, what that really became obvious to us anyway and to the people that participated is you have a corridor where it's available, it's an affordable place still to have a business and start a business. And that's kind of a marketing advantage for Springfield, I think. And that's really, people didn't want to lose that. They would love to see it with maybe some more employment opportunities and maybe some visual upgrades, a better streetscape, maybe even sort of better building design at some point in time as time goes on. But that it remain affordable for business and that it has clusters of businesses together of a similar type. You can get to a startup business there. Some infill housing, particularly maybe multifamily housing, maybe not right on the corridor but close to it. That's also going to be very supportive of transit. If you make a major investment in transit, it increases the diversity, community diversity, and affordability of that. And affordability being a very key word, and that's not meant in any negative sense. I think it's very important that you have that affordability. It's a real asset to you. Then the last section was the Thurston section. Really, it's a great. it's almost a complete neighborhood now. You know that term that people like to use about complete neighborhoods. It's probably as close as you've got out here to being that already. I think the vision there is to increase maybe the level of neighborhood services a little bit while still maintaining those regional services. And just make sure there's always a good mix of housing for different age groups, different incomes, and make sure, you know, that more small locally owned businesses can kind of come in as well and supplement the regional draws. Could even be a pub. Who knows? Everybody often wants, can we get them at Miniman's or something? You know, that comes up a lot. But I know what they mean. They really would like that kind of access to neighborhood scale destinations. Affordable home ownership, affordable mixed income housing, rentals and ownership mixed together nicely. Oh, and that's it. And make it very safe for walking. And so those are the kind of vision statements. And the thing that, I'm sorry it's not in here, but that you have in your plans, and I'll just address it briefly, and we can always call these maps up if you want to ask detailed questions, is this idea we had the activity note. I don't want to overlook that. That's really essential organizing principle. We had six of them. They're detailed in the plan and on those drawings, and I apologize again to the public that I messed up, but my bad. And we have a little framework plan for each of those, and each of them represents different opportunities in our view, and those are also excellent opportunities to leverage major investments in transit with major, with over the transitional, over time land use changes. Nothing's going to happen right away, and the market will always be part of that. But that's an essential part of this plan also, is to kind of use those as sort of organizing points where, you kind of think of them as a little bit, kind of the big shoulder statement of the quarter, where everything's just maybe a little more intense or a little bigger or a little more clustered. So they have a little bit of elevated intensity of use over time, but very organized and very consistent with the vision. So anyway, that's an important consideration to an important piece of the framework plans, to pay attention to those and maybe direct public actions, public support to good opportunities inside those activity nodes as a good place to start. Because I guess the last thing I would just say is any city, in particular Springfield, you can't spread yourself too thin, so you have to kind of carefully target your energies and your investments.
Okay. Questions? Yes.
I think one of the key issues is going to be the Main Street corridor itself and what evolves with it, particularly since one of the hot issues these days is the rapid transit, the MX possibilities. So that seems to be one of the key elements on how everything else will fall into place. So is that probably one of the focal points of where you head?
Well, I would just say we don't know the outcomes of that transit study, and as I said, we didn't presume to know, but we did. I do personally think it could be an important opportunity, and I think that, there are concerns about it, there always are, but the advantages that I would just say again that it could bring to you is, first of all, it will bring some funding that you can help leverage and partner with to make infrastructure improvements, particularly in the realm of pedestrian and bicycle facilities. It gives you an added opportunity to jointly partner in incentivizing certain kinds of development, and there's a lot of tools in our larger implementation plan about how you can actually incentivize the kind of development that you want, but you have a potentially very effective partner in any transit authority, Lane LTD being no exception. In my mind, anyway. And so I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket, but I think it's a great opportunity to actually help accelerate and be another effective partner and another effective market factor in bringing about some of the positive changes that are in the vision statements.
Question relating to segment one, the west end of the corridor. We have this wonderful open space on the other side of the railroad tracks, and I know that was outside of the corridor that was looked at, but I'm sure there was some discussion. If you were talking about especially bicycle and pedestrian and those types of things, and making like the downtown area, really a destination that folks can not only go down and walk around downtown to those destinations, but also in very short order get into some nice open space or take a picnic lunch and walk down to a park or those types of things. Did that come up during this conversation, and how does that tie together to this plan, or does it?
It did come up in the conversations, and we've been sure to map that on some of the maps that we've done in the plan. So we got the information from Willamette Lane and from our city staff that are working on the Millrace restoration projects and where that path would come into our downtown. It's all shown in the diagrams.
I see the downtown really district urban design plan.
Yeah, it's been really important to show where all the parks are that are, you know, fairly close to Main Street and how you would get to them, because that's really an important piece of this too. So yes, it has been discussed, and we're always looking to make those connections every way we can.
Yeah, and of course, as we, I know that it's really out of this planning scope, but you know, across the bridge on the other side, the Glenwood whole piece, you know, it eventually will all tie together really beautifully. So.
Johnny, do you have anything?
Linda, how long have you, when did you start this? Was it 11, 12, or 13?
We started December 2013 was the first workshop, I believe, when we did the vision to action,
right,
where people drew their visions, and Nick, you were there.
Yeah, I remember that.
I just have to commend you on the community outreach, just reading through the things that you've done. I mean, there's half the battle right there, getting the community involved. And I always enjoy listening to Tom. I learn stuff every time I listen to Tom.
Well, thank you.
Everything's real clear, and you just stated it very nicely. It's very, for a layman, it's helpful. My question would be on the grant funding. How long is that? Is that indefinite? How long does that last? We have so much money from that grant.
We're almost finished with the grant, but we have Tom one more time after tonight, and that's for the City Council public hearing.
With the correct PowerPoint, by the way.
Oh, I see. The council gets it correct.
I'm sorry. I'll mail you a copy. I really apologize for that. It's just, how did that happen? I have no explanation at the moment.
Any other additional information from staff at this time? Okay. All right, at this time, we have requests for a couple of folks that want to address the Planning Commission. At this time, I'd like to call Ron Thompson forward. And please state your name and your address for the record.
My name is Ron Thompson, and I live at 816 South 72nd Street. In Springfield. And so over the course of this process, I've had the opportunity to travel to other locations and see some spaces that look like Springfield in terms of where this committee has and this process has developed. And so the north and west Vancouver region of British Columbia, the city of, those are two separate cities, but they're connected by a spur of Highway 99. And so they have a similar layout and a strong residential neighborhood system. This is not downtown Vancouver, this is north and west Vancouver. And so what I've seen there is that they have this wonderful mix of residential and commercial zones that are interlinked, and so you have like three or four stories of housing on top of a commercial outlet, and has a very good community feel. There's still a lot of residential. Single-story and two-story residential housing options, but the flows of the street are well-regulated and so forth. So if during the implementation process, people would be interested in looking at the north and west Vancouver townships. I think that that would be a great existing example of where Springfield might want to go with this long-distance corridor.
Question for you. Did you take part in the public outreach processes, and were you part of that process?
Yes, I have been a contributor since May of 2014.
And what was your feeling about the process? Do you think it was an inclusive process?
Yes, it was very inclusive, and I all my ideas were heard, and while some of them are, I'm a little more of a futurist, and I have a tendency, I'm looking to introduce new technologies to the marketplace, but at this point in time, it was outside this, those issues were outside the scope of the conversation. So, but what I was able to get my ideas heard and respected.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time speaking to the commission tonight. Okay, we have another request from Danny Wright. Hi, Danny. If you could just state your name and your address.
Hi, I'm Danny Wright from Kinsey Feet on Main in Springfield. I was invited to one of the first meetings and sat next to the gal from LTV and met, you know, a lot of great people. I really like the vision. I bought property on Main. I've been on Main Street for 10 years. I live in Walterville, and I worked at Walterville Feet for 10 years out there. My addresses and concerns have been, I guess, addressed, more to flip it correctly. I have semi-truck traffic to get product in. The logger from Roseboro Lumber was at several of the meetings concerned about maintaining access for his big trucks. Concerns are that the Main Street stops becoming a thoroughfare and becomes a 25-mile-an-hour like downtown. Main Street's 7 miles. I just got back from New Zealand. And in New Zealand, they have everything is like Main Street. Their widest streets are two-lane. And the neat thing that they've done with their planning is they have I-sites, which are information sites, in the beginning of their towns, the middle of their towns, on both ends. They have public restrooms that are immaculate. There is nobody peeing in the corner anywhere. And that is huge when you're walking around downtown Portland. I'm sorry, it stinks. When you walk around downtown Eugene, it stinks. People that ride LTV bus don't have any place to go to the bathroom. So that needs to be a huge part of it. It needs to, if LTV is going to come into this, they need to provide, just like me as a feed store, I have to provide a bathroom for my customers. So I would like that to be addressed. I love how the vision incorporates greenways or, you know, areas of stuff. I'm a little concerned about this walking. I'd like to know how many days of rain we have, how much drenching, how many people walk. I went downtown Eugene, I went downtown Portland. I was in New Zealand, it was 65 miles an hour and 3 inches of rain. And people don't get out. So businesses that are related to walking and biking, how much business are they gonna get for our, what do we have, 200 days of rain out of 365, to be conservative? So how do those businesses maintain if there's not access to parking or places like that? My business draws from a 5 mile radius. My customer is a 55-year-old educated woman who has college students that have graduated. And so that is my person. So I want to make it easy for that woman, because that's the buying power of the home, to get to my place of business.
Okay. Feedback from you on the process? Did you take part in some of the public meetings? It sounded like you were.
Yeah, being a new business owner, I've owned my property for a year on Main. I've worked on Main for 9 years. I was invited. I felt it was very open, very easy. And a lot of times it just seems like LTD became a much bigger part as we were going through it. Like he was saying, with them having the money, they seem like they have more pull, and that they would make Main Street a little more congested, like downtown Eugene is down by the university. My dad will not go down Glenwood. He will not go in Eugene, for example. But the, you know, it seems like the city has some great ideas, but I want to make sure that LTD doesn't drive those ideas. My people can't take a Bell Hay on a bicycle or a walk
home.
That's
right. That's right.
And the RV guy and the logging guy and the transmission shop and the auto body shops, and we all need. You know, like the one guy here said that he works at 46th and Main and would love to be able to walk to lunch. Well, there's 5 restaurants right there on 42nd Main. That's only 4 blocks. He's not willing to walk 4 blocks. So maybe that's the thing we need to look at, is customer viability. Because if we're going to be able to pay taxes, then we have to be able to have a customer in the door.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Do we have any other requests tonight to speak to the council? I don't have any more in front of me. Anyone else interested in addressing the council? Okay. So at this time, really any questions that we have from staff related to the plan?
I have a when I was going through this and reading about it, and then the article came up with Swanson being planning to rebuild, and I was thinking that'd be a great opportunity because that's in that activity node. Whatever, and to have them a part of maybe the facade, because they're going to be rebuilding that facility, and it's a corner post to the 28th Street, I believe. And I was wondering if there had been any communication with them or that shared this plan with them, I think.
Not specifically. We're just really thrilled with the news that they're coming back to that site, and they'll be building new, and so it's going to look good, I would think.
Yeah, it might be something, because they talk a lot about facade or having a continuity, and maybe they'd be someone willing to step up to start that process, is one of the things I was thinking. So,
great.
Yeah.
You going to go talk to him?
Sure. And then the other thing I was going to suggest, this might be, and I can pass along, you know, the information of this packet, but the Commercial Investment Division, which meets, they might be somebody that'd be interested in looking at this, because they have weekly meetings and a lot of real estate brokers and commercial brokers and stuff. And being able to look and see individual parcels and ideas and concepts is something that I think they would probably get a kick out of, and might get the creative juices flowing and maybe some money flowing too. So.
Good. Yes. Okay. All right. At this time, if there are any requests for continuation of the public hearing or extending the written record, they'll need to be presented. Hearing none, we'll move forward. So at this time, do we close the public hearing?
And the record.
And the record. So I need a motion to close the record and the public hearing.
Move to close the public record and move forward to the hearing.
Second. Close the hearing and public record. Okay. It's been moved by Commissioner Nelson, seconded by Commissioner Kirschman, to close the record and the public hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The hearing is closed. At this time, I would entertain a motion.
I move to recommend approval to the Springfield City Council of the Main Street Corridor Vision Plan, a roadmap to support achievement of the community's preferred future land use and transportation outcomes, TYP 413-00006.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Commissioner Nelson, seconded by Stacy, that we... Commissioner Saladay, that we approve or recommend to the council to approve. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would just like to say excellent work by staff engaging the public. This type of visioning process is incredibly important for a community to come together around concepts about how the community is going to grow and how we're going to develop as a community. So it's a great opportunity to get out and engage 500 folks and business owners and folks that live up and down the corridor. Very, very important process. And I love the point around this isn't to go on the shelf and say, oh, didn't we do that 10 years ago? This is something that needs to be a living document. You know, it's a vision that we need to continue to revisit and see how we're moving in this direction and make those course corrections as we go. So
I would just also like to comment, I think Springfield has changed so much even since I moved here about 9 years ago. And it's so refreshing to see the direction that you're going. I think the changes that have already been made downtown are amazing and just very different than when I first got here. And I'm very excited to see what's gonna happen. And I know that Greg was saying, it's not just gonna sit on the shelf. Things are gonna get done. And we've seen things get done already and more businesses come in downtown. So it's very exciting and yeah, I look forward to it.
It's almost like that. You see that tipping point beginning to really take off. How many years have we talked about downtown and reinvigorating downtown, and we are really seeing some things happen, not just in downtown, but up and down the corridor. Just exciting. So, okay. All right. Do we have any reports? Okay, so this evening, under business from the Planning Commission, it is our time of year to elect officers for the forthcoming year. And I would just like to say, first of all, I very much appreciate the opportunity to serve as a chair for the past 2 years on the Planning Commission. I was fortunate to be reappointed to another four-year term by the City Council, and I appreciate that. And we have Commissioner Saliday is working on borrowed time right now. And so we have two positions that are going to be reappointed within the next month or two. The City Council is going to is going to interview and replace the Joe Piccinieri's position and Commissioner Saliday's position. And then Johnny has got another month or so.
Oh.
So, you know, we have Commissioner Moe that's on the commission for another year and a half. He'll go out in May of 2016. So we have an opportunity, I think, tonight to think in terms of having some folks who have been on the commission for a while that understand the business of the commission and have the background and experience to continue lead in a leadership role on the commission. I certainly appreciate Nick and the job you've done as vice chair during the course of this year. And Commissioner Vose has served on the commission for 3 years now, and both are very capable. And so I would like to nominate Commissioner Vose to serve as the chair for the forthcoming year, if you would be willing to do so.
Yeah, I think that last year Commissioner Moe nominated me, and I was really reluctant at that time to step into that position. So after giving it some thought and some study during the year and analyzing the requirements of the position, I came into this meeting being open to that possibility, and I realized that the first option would be Nick's, to accept or not accept. So my understanding is that you prefer to remain in your current position.
Yeah, I'm having fun being the vice chair.
But you have the first choice, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I'd love you to be the chair, so.
Then I'll accept the position.
Okay. All in favor of Commissioner Vo serving as a chair, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. And I would also like to nominate Commissioner Nelson to serve another year as vice chair for the council, for the commission. Would anyone else be interested? I guess there's nobody else. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Well, congratulations to both of you. Certainly, you'll appreciate serving as chair, the staff support that you receive. It's amazing, and the staff at the City of Springfield are the absolute best, and the legal counsel's okay, too.
I'll just say that there's a couple of people here that are not going to be aware of what they're in for.
So, okay. I think on our calendar, we have, you said we were going to have a get-together in March?
March 3rd.
March 3rd. So if you could, Commissioner Salady, if you could join us at that meeting, it would be much appreciated.
Okay. So. I think I'm scheduled to be here anyways, aren't
I?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Good. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Do we know what we have on the agenda for that coming?
We have a work session and a...
You're going to meet February 3rd, and you have a CCI that night, and then a work session. And February 18th, you have two work session items, and then March 3rd, you have three public hearings.
Three public hearings.
Oh, well, stuck together on... Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be here rooting me on.
Well, we already have one. We might as well have some more.
I will put Greg on the other side of you. So you can.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a nearby consultant. To...
Yes.
All right. Do we have any other business from staff? No?
No.
Okay.
Before we adjourn.
Yes.
My understanding is that in the process of selecting new commissioners, we have 13 applicants.
Oh,
yes.
Fabulous.
Yes. Yes.
Most we've ever had.
So they'll be splitting the interviews into two sessions because they want all the council to be in attendance. And so February 17th and March 3rd are the interview dates. And I'll be notifying the applicants on what night they'll be interviewing.
I think you partially answered one of the other questions. I was wondering whether staff was going to pre-screen down to a level of half dozen or so, but they're going to interview every one of the applicants.
They will interview each and every applicant that submitted an application.
Is that interviewing session open to?
Yes.
Yeah, so
we can.
You can attend, but there you can't make comment.
Yeah. Yes.
The other question is, with that many applicants, why did they postpone the deadline for submitting applications? Because originally it was January the 12th is the deadline, and the interviews were going to be the January 20th.
Right, because they want, the mayor wants all the councilors to be in attendance.
Oh, I see, because of the...
And so they, because we received 13, which is a record number that we've had since I've been doing this.
Yeah, that's right.
They want to give it the time due to each person, so that's why they're splitting it in half and move the dates out a little bit.
One other question. Several years ago, when Denise Bean was on the commission, she had made a comment, our obligation to attend council meetings and council work sessions, she made a comment that she didn't feel it was appropriate for a member, sitting member of the commission, to attend an interview session. And it struck me as a little odd because there's no involvement for the commissioner that's attending. Mm-hmm. Is that actually a matter of protocol or courtesy that you shouldn't, or you should, or it doesn't matter?
Their work sessions are open to the public.
As far as having a current commissioner attend interviews for opening.
Yeah.
There's no reason why.
There's no ethical reason.
Well, I was curious about that because it had never been addressed before, and I wasn't sure whether it was just her feeling about it or whether that was...
Yeah, it may, under a circumstance, make an applicant uncomfortable, but there is no ethical reason.
How many people there already?
It's a work session, and it's a public hearing.
Yeah.
The only time
well, that's kind of the way I took it, but then obviously...
As far as seated commissioner goes, I think it's important for us to see who the field of who the folks who have applied are. We will have our own, and ultimately it's the council's decision. It has nothing to do with
right.
us.
Oh, yes, I agree.
I think it's a good thing. That's my personal feeling.
Especially considering you also serve as the CCI, I think
that's
for
right.
that reason too, to keep in mind.
That's true. That's a really good point. So, okay, other questions? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Are you sure about that? You want to
know? I like being Biden, man.
But what about next year now?
I'll stand up and applaud.
I didn't even force my way into this. Yeah,
that's
right.
And
staff will be.
That's going to be interesting.
Greg Palmer here. He would give me lots of information about staff.
You're all good.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.